Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week is an award-winning stand-up comedian, storyteller, writer, and host who previously appeared on Comedy Central's This Is Not Happening with, I'll say, kind of a heartwarming story. A little bit, like, fits the format, but also I was not expecting that, so the listeners need to check that out. And you're also co-host of a podcast with previous guest, Shalewa Sharp. So please welcome to your ears, Gaster Almonte.
My man, thanks for having me, Bobby.
Yeah, it's good to catch up with you. The listeners have been noticing, I've interviewed a lot of people who are based in New York, and I won't lie, I'm biased. The dating culture sounds fascinating. I love the culture in general. But you're New York born and bred, Brooklyn, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Whole life, homie.
So I don't know. Do you know how crazy dating is in New York, or is this just life?
I mean, I know how crazy it can be. Admittedly, like, even I'm seeing it through a lens. I've been married for, like, what is it now, 13 years. So, like, I experienced the last New York dating era before apps. Like, I was still, like, approaching people randomly on the J train, you know? So, yeah, like, it's nitty gritty. It's still incredible. I love talking with my boys and hearing the nonsense and the up and downs that they doing out there. It is incredible to live vicariously through their eyes, man.
That's it right there, though. Anyone that's married, they love to hear the stories, but you don't want to be back out there.
No, I am happily married, very much so. Me and my wife talk about it all the time. Like, I don't know if we're, like, happy that we're together or so much that we're not dealing with that anymore. But, like, as a unit, decided it's a win-win if that's all we get from it. Yeah. Anything else is bonus.
For sure. And you've got a dating story in mind, which also occurred on a J train, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Back in high school, I was coming home from school and this dude tried to rob me while I was transferring through the different train carts. Mm-hmm. So, like, he puts, like, a gun to my back and he's like, yo, give me the book bag. And, like, I hand him the book bag, but I'm like, yo, my man, like, I don't want to disappoint you, but, like, all I got is an empty CD case and a book. Like, there's nothing in there, you know? So he's going through it, and he sees the empty CD case for the Puff Daddy album that just come out and, like, a calculus book. So he hands it back to me, and he looks at me, and he sizes me up. He's like, man, forget it. And he just sits down. So, like, we go 4 train stops just staring at each other. Like, because I still got to get home. And apparently, so do criminals. they got stuff to do, too. So, like, we just stared at each other for 4 stops. My stop comes up. I get out. He gets out. I walk home. We walk in the same way. And I see this dude lives literally, like, down my block. And I spend the rest of my, like, time when I live there knowing this dude lives there. So I didn't know who he lives with. I don't know anything about this dude. But, like, now that, like, someone tries to rob you, you become hyper aware every time you see them in your neighborhood, you know? We, like, would see each other at the corner store, you know? Like, it was just like a vibe. Like, hey, what's up? How you doing? You know, like, it's just the dude you know.
Yeah.
And, like, that's how I, oh, yeah, you know, that's homie. He tried to rob me once. Turns out he pretty cool. And, like, we just kind of bonded. And at my school, like, the reason, like, I was taking the train home is because I went to a prep school in Queens for high school. So, like, by the time home, I was the only kid left commute that still looked like he didn't go to public school. Like, everyone was in regular clothes. I was in a uniform. Mm-hmm. And, like, the further I got away from the school, the less and less of my friends were with me. So I stood out. There was only one other person that took the train that far, this girl. So me and her, like, kind of clicked. We started dating. And she moves to my neighborhood. So she's like, she goes from being like 4 stops before mine to my stop, right? And when she moves, I go to her new place. It's the same building. And when I first visit her, I'm like, yo, how'd you get this apartment? And she's like, oh, my older brother, he has an apartment here. He recommended it. So, like, the first time I visit her in her new place, I find out that this girl I've been dating for like 3 months is the younger sister of the guy that tried to rob me on the J train. And, like, so when he first comes into, like, their apartment, he sees me and like we're cordial now, but like I don't know how to like handle the dynamic, you know? Because like for you, like when people to you, hey, how you met this dude, I had no problems telling people, oh, this is the dude that robbed me, because there was no repercussions. You know, but like I don't know if I want to say that with his sister and his mom. You know, like so yeah, like we had to like play like a weird dance of like I know and you know, can they know? And every time we tried to like talk it, one of them would like leave the room, but someone else would come in. So we couldn't get like a moment alone to like really clarify. So like all answers would be like, oh, you don't know each other? He's like, yeah, we get the same sandwich orders, Poppy, at the corner store. So I don't know. I know him like that. After like an hour and a half of awkwardness, I get a he leaves the apartment. He convinces his sister to take my to get my cell phone number. And when I get home, like he calls me and he's like, yo, don't say nothing. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I won't. And also, you are substantially older and bigger than me. I wasn't planning on like blowing the lid without your approval. But yes, now that I know for sure, I will keep it that way. But yeah, I ended up being part of the family of this random criminal. Great girl, by the way. She's cool people. I still know her. But yeah, I hope he's doing better in general. I don't know if he's still robbing people on a J train. I know he's older now. I figured that, you know, at like 50, it's kind of hard to still be a stick-up kid.
Hopefully you grow out of that.
Yeah, you know, but just still be a stick-up middle-aged man. I don't know what your aspirations are. But apparently, if you're a criminal, it doesn't mean that all the people in your life are. The young lady was great people. And we had a cool, short high school relationship. But yeah, good times. You never know that whole 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. Nobody applies it to criminals. They should, you know? You never know.
Yeah. Well, they all live somewhere. I love that story. That I love the power dynamic of that story. That he went to steal your book bag. You stole his little sister. You turned up in his home and threatened to expose the shit he's pulling to his family. I love that. Hey, you won. You got in that dude's life. He took your phone number.
It feels good when I look back on it. Admittedly, in the apartment, I was very scared. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know, like, if I say something, like, is that a confrontation? You know, like, I don't know how to handle it. Also, like, a big part of the reason that I think the girl and I clicked is because she thought I was, like, the tough guy. Mm-hmm. And, like, I didn't want her to, like, know very quickly, oh, no, I am very much not. I see now that he felt like, oh, my situation might get exposed. But admittedly, at the time, I didn't think it through that way.
Yeah, yeah. And you talk about this in your comedy, like, growing up the way you did and where you did and how, like, maybe a lot of things you kind of took for granted of how you had to get your street smarts early. So I think you navigated that pretty well. And so obviously as a kid, you're still like, this is fucked. Like, what is going on? This dude lives around the corner from me. Anything could happen, you know? You're gonna be looking over your shoulder. But at the same time, you handled it. And I don't know if I would have, when I saw who she lived with, walked in. I think I would have been like, you know what? She's a nice girl, but I'm too young to be getting into all this. I don't need criminals in my family right now.
I love adventure, okay? I know what to say. I like seeing where things are going to go. So here we are.
And so that kind of chill vibe, has that led you down other routes in dating where you've kind of gone along with things and then you've looked back and you're like, did I need to follow that person? Did I need to get into that relationship?
I think it works both ways. Like sometimes being chill has almost led to like me not being proactive or like not reading a situation as like, oh, this is a dating opportunity. Like I know in college once, when I first started freshman year of college, the cafeteria was like really, really cool. I was really excited about the fact that like they made our food on the spot. This is a big deal for me. Like normally cafeteria food like was like pre-made and wrapped in plastic to me all through elementary school. So I was really excited to see the chef make my, you know, grilled cheese sandwich right in front of me. So like there was a day I'm ordering my sandwich and a young lady sees me and she like says, hey, that sandwich is trash. you should try this instead. And she tells me her order of the grilled cheese. She recommends I switch to Swiss. I should put mayo on the outside for the toasting, and that I should ask for tomatoes within the sandwich. Mm-hmm. Very, very impressive sandwich. Like, you know, for an 18-year-old, surprisingly culinary. Like, I'm impressed with her. You know, so she orders this sandwich after seeing my order specifically for me. So she's like, hey, I'm gonna order this sandwich. I want you to try it. And we sit down together and I try the sandwich. Sandwich is awesome. I loved it. Admittedly, better than my sandwich. And we talked for like 10 minutes about sandwiches. And then I was like, all right, thank you, man. This has been enlightening. And I just walked away from her. Like, I didn't know. Like, when I told the story to my boys, I'm like, yo, like, I think that was, like, her saying, hey, this is, like, an opening for her to, like, start the convo. I thought, nah, I just think she really believes in the sandwich. She's just trying to spread the word, you know? They were very correct. I was very, very uninformed. And she used to hang out at the bottom of the escalators at, I went to Baruch College. You got, like, escalators that, like, kind of lead to the main floor from the second to the first. And she always hung out with her crew down there. And like the day after I got the sandwich, she would smile at me as I would come down, I think kind of hoping that I would broach the topic. And I would smile and wave and then walk away because I was like, I don't know if you have any other sandwich information, but if that's all you have, like, I think that's been the end of our relationship.
And the irony is, I think from the other side, you probably only seemed more mysterious. Like, this guy, he's just so busy. He's just, I only see him. He always walks past. He never has time to chat to me. Like, she was probably waiting for, like, he needs to fuck up his order again because I've got to go for round two.
It went on the whole semester. Like, I slowly saw her, like, fade from, like, smiling to, like, I don't think he's getting it. And, I I think I made a mortal enemy. I think someone out there just doesn't like me. And is not happy that I know their grilled cheese secrets. But if she ever is listening, I hope she knows I hold that sandwich dear, you know?
Because that's the best part of it as well. So do you know what the term negging means?
Do you know that? I've heard of this.
So it's, no, it's I don't this know the thing that, user. Like, a lot of, you know, what do you call them? Not, you know the guys that, like, supposedly teach you the tricks to pick up women out in the world.
Oh,
what are they called again?
The, like, that TV show with the dude, he like taught all, like, the nerds how to date.
Yeah. There's a name for them anyway. But a lot of them will talk about this idea of nagging. So the idea that you should insult a woman, and then that way she will want to impress you and gain your attention and your approval. And I don't know if I believe in all that. But I love that, like, you went through the reverse. Like, she came up to you, approached you, her opening was your sandwich is trash. And you seemed to be immune because you were like, you know what? This is a learning opportunity. And you've taken that into your life. And who won? So, yeah.
Amen. I mean, if negging it, I would assume it does not work on men, apparently. Our egos are not in the same place. We don't have the same social pressures, you know, so...
I don't know if a lot of men can handle it, right? Because there's this idea that, like, the guy, you know, chases the girl, right? But in reality, we know there's a lot more to and fro to that. You know, she's giving you signals that she's picking up what you're putting down, whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, and then that gives you the confidence to ask for the date or to progress the conversation or whatever. And so... I think that's the thing. I don't know if men can handle it. Like, I don't even think we can really handle being hit on because we're not raised like that usually. Like, I think
I just don't read it.
Yeah, I think we all like the idea of it, but I think, yeah, I'm the same. I don't notice. Somebody else has to tell me, oh, you know, she was flirting with you. Did you not realize? And I'm like, I know she was being nice. We were chatting. And like, yeah, I don't pick it up.
But then, yeah, I know my wife has said that a few times. She's like, she'll notice after a show, like, somebody's, like, really, like, laying it on. And I just think, like, oh, this is a great fan. Like, I hope they, like, sign up for the email list, you know?
There you go. They're in love with you and you're just hustling. You're just getting them on the mailing list. They ask for your number. You're like, oh yeah, just put your email in this box.
Like, oh, you want Texas too? Yeah, sure. Put your number in there. Why not? You know?
Yeah, I'll let you know when the shows are. Yeah, yeah. Might even give you a discount. Oh, I love that. Bless. Maybe that's your whole audience. Maybe that's maybe we find that out today. You're going to go to a show, you're going to do a poll of the audience, you're going to realize it's just every woman that's ever fancied you and just keeps coming back to the show.
Hey, listen, it's a paying audience either way. Okay, I appreciate all of them. Bring your best grilled cheese recipes while you're at it, you know? If we're going to hang out, let's hang out. Let's make it productive. I'll share what I know.
Yeah. And so you told me a story at school. You told me a story at college. Looks like we're going chronologically. So what about getting out into the world as an adult? Any less crazy?
I mean, at that point, it's been substantially less crazy because me and my wife started dating during my late junior year. Mm-hmm. And that's been who I've been with ever since. So I've been out the game. I don't deal with it directly. I laugh at my friends regularly. I give advice like I have good advice. I don't have good advice. I was lucky. My wife is my best friend's older sister. She grew up 7 blocks away from my house. Like, I'm just geographically lucky. That's all it was. I have no advice. My advice is just be friends with good people and hope they have attractive siblings. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how it worked. I've been blessed. It worked out. She literally saw me date people and not do well at it. I saw her date people, not do well at it. And we were like, why are we wasting time going around all these other boroughs, wasting taxi fares? You know, you seem cool. I seem cool. We're within walking distance. We should try this out.
I mean, is that not a dating app? It's based on proximity. But you know what? It sounds like something wants to keep you in Brooklyn.
Like, yeah,
you date one girl at school, she moves a few blocks down from you. You that already know her brother. Someone else you see every day at college, and now you're dating someone else from college. You were not destined to go anywhere. You need not to be famous right where you're at.
I have found my home. I know where I belong. I know the last girl I dated right before my wife, we broke up because it was too many train transfers. It was too long. The commute was 1 hour and 15 minutes. And I was like, yo, you're cool, but you're 45 minutes cool. You know, this is too much work, you know?
So that was the conversation. And had you planned that? Had you planned to that was the breakup chat?
Yeah, we talked it over. And mind you, and I told her it wasn't just her. It was me too. I was like, I know I'm not 1 hour 15 cool. I don't want to put that on you. You know, we're both roughly 45 minutes cool, you know, and if we were 45 minutes away, we could probably build something. But neither of us is that. We're not superstars. You know, we're not that great. I'm sure there's a person that's 1 hour and 15 cool. That's where I'm at. Or there's a 45 minute cool person within 45 minutes. Either way, we both deserve better, you know, and she agreed.
You know what, man? There's a strange equality to that. Like, I feel like if I heard that from the other side, I wouldn't even be mad at it. Because you're saying, okay, I don't know if I can make this work. I don't know if I can commute like this anymore and not be heading to a job and not be getting paid. But I don't think you should be commuting to me either. Like, that's difficult to argue.
Yeah, I don't want to put that on her. And I don't want to put that on me. I can't live up to that standard. You traveled 1 hour and 15 expecting a great date. I don't have great dates. I have okay dates, you know? You know, so if you travel that far to come watch a DVD of Belly with me, you ain't gonna be that happy, you know? I'm sorry, I don't have that. But if you walked 7 blocks and we watch Belly, oh, this is a cool guy. You know, it's very different. The bar is lower, you know? And then on top of that, after the date, you only walk 7 blocks. I could walk you together, I get romantic points. 1 hour and 15, I think that's a you got to go home by yourself thing, you know? And then again, I look worse just because of geography. And the other way, too, I don't want to go 1.5 hours to spend 2 hours to then spend 1 hour and a half coming home. That's more time without you than with you, dedicated to being with you. That's bad.
There you go. That's romance right there. Nah. And so then, you know, you're getting to know your future wife. What's you pushing the boat out on a date then?
What was that?
What's you really committing to a date then when you're getting to know your wife? Or was it just an awareness? Did you just stay how you be? Do you just stay at your level and then she figures out whether or not she's down with it? Or was there a point where you're like, okay, I'm stepping it up?
I don't think I've adjusted much, admittedly. I feel like I've set proper expectations. And I think that's key to our success. I've never pretended to be more than what I am. And being frank, it would have been hard to. She's known me since I was 13. So, like, when we started dating, I was 21. Like, I can't, like, pretend to be something extra. She's seen me. She's seen all the stupidness that I've done with her brother. Like, we've hung out as a crew, all of that. Like, you can't all of a sudden be some extra. She saw all the magic. Like, you can't lie about your car. She knows your car. You can't lie about your job. She knows your job, you know? She knows all of your moves. You know, so, yeah, I had nothing to, like, I had no extra level to go to. There was no new thing. So, yeah, I told her I was interested, and it was mutual. And I think the fact that we were very aware of who we were both at the time and who we wanted to be, I think worked out well.
And when you were younger, did you like each other?
No, I was scared of her initially because she's older than me. So, like, she's 2 years older than me. And, like, that's not a big deal, like, in the grand scheme of things. Mm. But, like, 13 and 15, those 2 years are huge. You know, that's junior high school, high school. You
know, oh, yeah, she was probably like twice your height.
Yeah, legit. No, she was, like, this mean, like, high school cool person that didn't want to kick it with the junior high school kids. And then same thing, when, like, I'm, like, 16, she's in college. You know, I'm a sophomore. You know, so same thing. She running in different circles. So, like, the whole time to me growing up, she was like, oh, my boy George's older sister that don't rock with us. You know, she's out doing her thing. And then we kind of kicked it when we all became like adults at the same time and could go to bars and without having to sneak in under her car. And she was like, oh, you're actually pretty cool. I was like, I knew this the whole time, but I'm glad you're on board now, you know, and it worked out.
Yeah. And has that continued? Like, you're married now, you know each other. Does she still keep you in check? Is there still a little bit of fear?
Yeah, for sure. She has this eyebrow thing where, like, the sharper they get, the, like, more wrong I am at the moment. So it's a good temperature check.
Wait, hold on. She just moves them, or is she drawing them on?
No, she moves them. They get hyper, like, angular. Like, yeah, you feel like they're like protractors. It's crazy. Like, it's really well done how sharp she could draw angles with them. But I enjoy it because it lets me know, oh, I'm messing up. It's like a real-time feed, you know? You know what's going on in the moment at all times. It's a lot like comedy. Joke works, people laugh instantly. Gabby's mad, eyebrows go up instantly. I know, oh, okay, I messed up that line. I should have took that back. And, you know, you learn for the future.
I love that comparison. You're just adjusting your set just constantly survive.
But yeah, like, only negative is that it is genetic. So, like, depending on the day, like, if I fumble, I could get that same face like three times. Like, my mother-in-law, my wife, and my daughter all got this eyebrow thing. So, like, I could have three, like, real similar faces from different generations, all just angry at once. And while I know the one negative to it is, like, I could see it. I know when it's happening. I don't necessarily know why. I just know it's something I did recently. So, yeah, I've had moments where, like, I've had the same face just looking at me with the angles of anger. And I know, okay, I did something wrong. And, like, I feel like I'm living a surreal, like, metaverse moment where, like, oh, this is the same face that's going to be angry at me for the rest of time, you know, because I'm just seeing it in all ages, you know? So, yeah, it's a little trippy. There's actually a framed picture in my living room of a picture of my daughter and my wife, both with the eyebrows that I took of them when they didn't realize. And they enjoy it. So it's currently framed in my living room.
I love that. You've got the evidence. And you've talked about that in your comedy as well, like how becoming a parent changes it, you know. And I think like that's very true. Like you see this person you're married to in a whole different light, and you know, there's another priority that isn't just each other anymore. How's that been?
Yeah, I mean it's beautiful. I think it brings you together. It's an opportunity to anyway. You know what I mean? It's a chance to come together as a duo, have like a focused mission, and it's not always about you. So I've enjoyed it. I think she has too. I'm not polling her daily, but I'll ask to see if she verifies. But I think it's been a benefit and a blessing to kind of like be able to team up and raise kids. And yeah, I'm appreciative of those memories. By the same token, I am hyper aware of the fact that our son, or our youngest kid, is 12 years old and 2 months as of tomorrow. So I am very much counting down the days so we no longer have them in our house and we can be free again to date with just us in mind and not have to worry about food for two other people and babysitting for two other people. And I think we'll have a good time again, you know? It'll be good. It'll be cheaper at the very least to date.
Yeah. And I heard in your album, like in particular, you were talking about like sometimes it does feel like a competition with you and your son, where you've got this younger, cuter guy living with you that kind of looks like you, that gets a lot more of her attention. How much of that is
he's the best of you. He's the best of you. That's not fair. When you're that age, you have a six pack, your metabolism is incredible. I remember I had it too. I don't have that anymore. And I get to watch this kid walk around the house shirtless because it's allowed when you're that age, you know. Guests come over, if I'm shirtless, it's a question like, yo, what's going on with you? Like, you having a rough day? My son does it. It's playtime. Everybody's cool with it, you know. And my wife remembers me when I had a six-pack. And she can remember every day when she sees that kid, you know. That's not cool. I feel like it's messed up. They're just like, it's like a weird thing, like, I don't know if, like, God did it on purpose. Like, hey, listen, this is what you should look like if you did work, you know? And he just put some in your house as, like, a daily, like, thing to, like, aspire to. And, yeah, everybody thinks you're supposed to, like, kids are supposed to be, like, you work on them. But, no, kids are a reminder for you to work on you. Like, you are messing up by letting go. So, yeah, eat more oatmeal is what I'm saying. Like, go for a jog.
but also, like, they're the example, but they're also the reason, right? Because, like, you're minding them. That's why you're not at the gym.
Yeah. It's a catch 22. Like, you know, like, it takes up all of your time. You're working on their homework. You're making sure that they succeed. And you become more and more unable to do any of your stuff to maintain you because you're maintaining their image and the cocoon around their life, trying to keep it as easy and as simple as possible. And after a day that admittedly makes it very hard to like switch on the romance, you know? So like, you know, it's very energy and time consuming, but admittedly it gets easier as they get older. They start to do more and more on their own, you know, and we can kind of say, hey, peace out. We're going to go do date night. That's cool, you know? So yeah, it's coming back around little by little.
Good. And I don't know, like, do you find that even though, like, it can fuck with the romance, like, seeing her parents and her seeing you, like, look after the kids, do you find, like, there's still a romance in that, like, a different kind?
No, for sure. Like, you know, I joke and all that, but, like, sincerely, it's a blessing to kind of team up and work together for these people. I truly believe that, like, my job as a parent is to raise two people that hopefully add value to the world.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we're doing that. We're raising two now, like, young teens that I'm very proud of who they are as people. And I think an immense amount of credit goes to the work that my wife has done with regards to that. I think I chip in every now and then. You know, I try my best. But I'm proud of what we've teamed up and created and nurtured. And, it, you know, I would love to, I'm looking forward to enjoying the time that we get back together again. But a big part of it is going to be because it's earned, you know, like we've put in time together and raised two kids that I will be very proud to see join and become productive members of society and add value to the world and achieve their dreams. It's beautiful. Sincerely, man. Like, I genuinely enjoy it. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? That's the bittersweet part of it, that you've done a good job if you raise them to be well-adjusted and independent of you. You basically need to raise them to not need you anymore.
So, Bobby, that's the sad emotional part of it that people don't get until they become parents, right? If you've done your job, you are preparing them to leave you, right? That is the job of a parent. And on top of that, you know, the more time you spend with them, the more attached you get to them. Like, when I had them, I saw them, I instantly fell in love. And yet every day I love them more. And if that holds true, on the day they leave, I will love them the most ever that I could have at that moment. And I have to pretend that I'm okay with them not being at my house. On top of that, I remember being a teen when, like, I first started pushing that freedom with my parents, right? Like, if you go out, hang out, and, like, it's the first time you're going to come home late. I remember my mom wanting to call me, like, hey, are you okay? Everything's going fine. And hating those phone calls. Like, come on, mom. Like, I'm chilling with the crew. Leave me alone. Right? But now, as a parent, I understand that overwhelming urge of trying to cram every last bit of safety information into your kid's brain before they leave because you're worried that they're going to need that one thing and you should have told them. But you have to pretend that they are fully aware and ready and hope that they figure out the little gaps of knowledge that you couldn't prep them for. But you have to pretend that you are okay with it as a parent, because otherwise when they actually do need help, they'll be too annoyed with you to call you. So it's like a weird like situation that like I've become super appreciative of the love parents gave me, of the date nights I interrupted for them. My bad. I was cock blocking dad. Not intentional, you know. I get the value of it now. I think it's a beautiful, interesting, like, you know, romantic, like dramedy type thing that happens, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, you've been a parent long enough now that you know, like, that's what you've got to do. You've got to be chill. You can't put like all your fears on them, because they need to find their independence. They need to like try things and fail. And the reality is, the more you try and be chill about it, the more you try and call up to check on them and just be like really casual about it, the less convincing you are.
Hey, listen, I'm a comedian for a reason. I can't act at all, Bobby. I know my limits, okay? Whenever I get casted on TV work, it's to play someone very similar to me. So I'm not going to convince my kids either that I'm chill.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just calling you just in the middle of the afternoon. It's just something I do, right? Yeah. They're not going to believe that. Oh, yeah. Where are you at right now? No, just interested. Yeah.
It's you know? No ulterior motive at all, honey. You know? Just want to know. That's it. Yeah, nah. I can't pull it off. I know my range.
And on that note, we'll start wrapping up with our rule of the game. So is there something you'd recommend to people to try and live by in dating or relationships?
Yeah, date within your proximity. I think that's the key, okay? Whatever you're willing to travel, cut that in half. Because the reason you're thinking you could travel that far is because you're aspirational. You know, it's like first send out your resumes and you lie. You don't believe that, right? You know you didn't do all those skills. You don't have all that job references. So whatever you think you're willing to travel, cut that in half and only date people within that circle, you know? Because then at that point, instead of wasting time traveling, you're spending time getting to know people. And guess what? It increases the likelihood that you figure out how to work things out amongst each other. But I go further. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be just as likely to mess up the date. And all that gives you is double the time on the way home to realize that you're not that great of a partner right now, you know?
Yep. I agree with that, because we all want to think, right, in this modern world with all the forms of transport, that we're beyond that. You know, that's a thing of the past, trying to like, you know, when try and date someone in your village, try and like keep that small radius that like generations gone by would end up in relationships with people they already knew, because that's how, you know, that's how our lives were. They were smaller in many ways. And yet it still holds up. You know, there's so little we can control in relationships. We don't know how it's going to go, But proximity to the person, it's, you know, it's something we can have some control over and it does help. So I like that. Points for that. And I'm going to add something that I've learned a lot doing this show, which is compare notes with people. Like, dating is crazy, relationships are crazy. Like, talk to people in your life, find out how it's going for them. And that goes for if you're in a relationship too, right? Find out what the other married couples have going on. Find out the stupid things they're arguing about. Find out how tough the lockdowns being trapped together were for them. Because, you know, we have all these things in common. You know, we're all figuring this stuff out. There is no perfect guidebook. There's, you know, there's some wonderful podcasts. But, you know, ultimately, you have to figure some of this stuff out for yourself. And, you know, the people around you could be really reassuring. I find my guests hugely reassuring. So, yeah, there it is.
Amen. Yeah, all of our arguments are about air conditioning. How many plants does she think we need in the apartment? And we disagree on what the right amount of Diet Coke we should keep in the fridge. So, yeah, if you solve those three things, you could kind of get around with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out 3R for you, and I think you're good. There's like a version of that, I think, in every couple.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we'll wrap up there. In the bit behind the paywall, I think I'm going to ask you a bit about some of the stuff you mentioned to me off air about the pandemic, going on a double date on Zoom, trying to figure out how to get the right amount of space in the same home whilst living in New York, where, you know, I think it holds up the jokes about how tiny the property is there and the crazy prices. I've only visited once, but anyone I know there is confirming it. So for now, if people want to find you online, if people want to go find your album, where should they go?
Yeah, you can find me on all social medias at Gastroalmonte, GASTORALMONTE. You can check out my War Report podcast with myself and Shalewa Sharp as the host. And my album, Immigrant Made, is on all streaming services. And you can see my independently produced special of The Immigrant Made on Amazon Prime.
There you go. Love it. And yeah, I think our audience will love this. I think our gamers will like this episode. They love Shalewa. She's been one of our most popular guests. So we're going to have to get her back on at some point.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome. Her dating story is spectacular.
Well, that's it. She's still out there. So,
yeah.
Bless her.
I live through Sha.
Yes. All right. We'll wrap up there. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
You can support the show, get ad-free episodes and bonus content by joining our new subscription on Apple Podcasts.
This replaces our Patreon and it's slightly cheaper.
Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta,
with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.